Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
I feel like there needs to be a countdown, almost, where it's like, we are day 44 without a head coach, like Castaway style, just marking it down with a rock and just talking to Wilson at this point.
Well, championship week doesn't exist, so.
Then again, like, Wilson's probably in the running for a head coach job, right?
You think so? Has he been spotted on a plane? He came off of a plane.
He came off of a plane pretty roughly.
He did come off of a plane.
Hey, Castaway reference within a minute of this show for some reason, but there you go.
It's not weird at all. I'm comfortable with it.
If anybody was tracking planes, they probably found out there are a ton of FedEx planes. So,
yep.
It's a circle. And we looped it back in.
And I bet you they also learned that Boca Raton is a pretty popular place other than just for Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, we know. Well, at least I know how to say it now.
What were you saying?
Remember when, I think it was before all this stuff really kicked off, we mentioned Boca Raton, and I mashed it together with Baton Rouge, and it's cringeworthy when I went back and listened to that.
What did you do?
Oh, man, it had to have been right before Thanksgiving. I mentioned Boca Raton, and it was a slaughtering. Like,
I want to know what you said. I don't remember.
I can't recreate it because now my brain is just wired to Boca Raton. But
I'm taking an attempt and see if I'm right. See if it sparks a memory.
It was the perfect mash between Baton Rouge and Boca Raton.
Back in Raton?
No.
Was it something like that?
Did you say Spittoon? Back in the Spittoon? No. But yeah.
I wish I grew up in the area where those existed. You know how nasty those are? Yeah, just all down the beard and stuff.
Dude, I had a buddy in the military that carried around a mud jug, and I just called it his spittoon.
But a mud jug?
Yeah, that was like the name brand of it. Just kind of a, like, it reminded me of the Salvation Army red kettles. Yeah, that's the only way I can describe it.
You can't jump in those, you get fined.
And he would just go around and just fit right into that thing. And I was like, I had to call it a spittoon. Just had to.
You have, I understand.
He's like, it's my mud jug. That doesn't make it any better. It really doesn't.
But that's what he used it for, though?
Yeah, it was a spitter.
And he called it a mud jug.
Well, that was like the name brand of it.
Oh, he paid for something specifically. Oh, my God. Does he listen to the show?
Possibly.
What are you doing, man?
It's the Nebraska connection there, so the Cornhusker fan.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they make these great, great value purified drinking water bottles really cheap, and then they're multi-use, drink water and spit in them.
Yeah, well, that's him for us.
Things
that I wouldn't think this show would go through, and me mentioning spitting devices and a Castaway reference.
Shout out to Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, I guess. Appreciate it? I don't know. Anyway,
he listens.
Coaching search? Lane
well, before
train?
Before we get into that.
Oh, you got something? Okay.
I noticed that the rundown has changed.
Yeah.
This for 13, 14 weeks said something about Bama Bowl or something, didn't it?
Did it really? Now, I'll have to go back. And does it change? It does not say Bama Bowl. It just says SEC.
Our producer, Luke, had these set up for us before the season.
Fast, midget! Not so fast!
Lee Corso, man. There it is.
That's what we love about college football, Luke. You never know.
Yeah, I almost sold it. Or I almost tipped my hand, I guess, on that soundbite because I accidentally played it in our pre-show stuff. And I was worried that he would have heard the Lee Corso, which I think he did. I think he heard a little bit of the Lee Corso. But.
Well, now he knows why I was there.
Hey,
because
he had, you know, the confidence in Bama. It typically is the Bama Bowl.
Does that, don't, no, 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 listen. me and you discussed this today, and you were all for giving him help. Don't you start getting soft on me now.
I don't know. I've been defending a lot more people than I like, I'll be honest.
You have? What happened to you?
I don't know.
This show made you soft?
The show definitely hasn't made me soft. I really don't know what it is. I think I'm actually just happier. Like, let's not get too Dr. Philly, but there's something about a good old coach's search and seeing all these fake profiles pop up on Twitter. And as long as you're in the right frame of mind and think of everything as a joke, everything's funny.
I'm having a hard time with that, dude.
Well, because you don't do the Twitter that well. So
I don't do the Twitter.
Some of these fake profiles might get to you. You might just see the profile picture or the avatar and be like, oh, okay. And then I feel like, what was it? Would it be Dammy West? Have you seen that one come across?
Coming around, yeah. The one that got me the most, which one was it? It was when we were doing the testing for the other stuff the other night, and you and Luke were giving me hell for getting got.
That wasn't the video, right? We already gave you some crap for the...
Jones
video.
You talking about the Jerry Jones thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was... I'll tell you what, though. The one I didn't fall for was the Nikki Chavanella one.
Yeah, well, I'm not too surprised there.
I didn't... the followers. People need to look at the followers right away.
Right.
Right? But the sad thing is people are picking up followers from these things, and they're catching, like, what was the one we just looked at? Yunter Gurachek?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're producing some funny stuff out of it.
As long as you're doing, don't be trying to break news and all this crap. Have fun with it.
Yeah, be a straight-up parody account if you're a parody account. I mean, at least when I see ones like that, that's what I think of. It's, you know, and the Dammy West kind of goes that way.
He's a parody one. Yeah.
So there's the ones that do
Danny
that.
Actually has fun with that one.
Yeah. That's
the real good. Danny West.
And I think even, what was it? Producer Luke talking about Ruskin having one. Ruskin is ranting and Ruskin saying that he's like, hey, play around with mine. Like, do something. Do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make it, do something good.
Is that when we know we made it? When we get a parody JRD Hawkcast one?
I think that's a decent measuring stick.
Yeah.
I got to go. I'll be right back.
What was that? Create new Twitter. Hey.
Putting it down in the notes here. So, anyway, enough of our JRD is rambling.
Yeah.
Or ranting. This coaching search is it getting clearer or muddier?
Again, it's how you look at this kind of thing. I think someone said something along the lines of the pond is getting shallower. I did see some swamp and drainage, and I skimmed through that one. So I don't give that one. I see those two words put together and I'm like, eh.
That's the one I'm diving in at first. The Mike Leach getting hired is actually probably one that's made me the happiest out of everything. Getting extended. Yeah.
So right now Campbell extension, Leach extension, and who else are we worried about?
Picking up?
Those are the two that were, you know, mentioned and now pretty
well,
much
Campbell,
are
I wasn't,
marked off.
I wouldn't say I didn't hate it. Didn't love it, but didn't hate it. Leach, I hated.
You don't want to say it, but Campbell would have been probably a good third guy if you had to go that far down the list.
Yeah.
In terms of having to offer. But we might be getting ahead of myself here, but sounds like we got a guy.
You think so?
I don't know, man. I keep going real back and forth, but it definitely ends on one side where I think we got it. Kiffin. I think it's Kiffin.
See, so...
But it almost sounds too good, right? Too straight up.
Well, where we're at, it sounds too good to be
true.
Too straightforward. I understand the fans wanting to know how we want to know, but if you have a championship game, you gotta let the kids play,
right?
And you gotta coach those kids, and I think it's a good look for Kiffin. I mean, if we're looking at getting that guy and we have him or whatever, like I've said from day one, he's going to be a guy that leaves. So at least we know in year four or five, we make it to a bowl game. Well, I don't know. Would a bowl game be the same?
Yeah.
Would he stick around for a bowl game?
I don't feel so. Yeah, no.
It's not an SEC championship game. And quite frankly, if he's going to want – if you're in the SEC championship game, more than likely you're going to a New Year's Six or better.
Mm-hmm.
So he might stick around. I don't know. I may have just shit on my own good fortune there. I don't know. But I know people need to calm down. This plane surge, when we recorded last Sunday.
Yeah, I fell into the mold of, like, sarcasm, taking it as jokes and that whole thing. These guys are serious. Like,
these guys are not just tracking planes. They have sources.
Yes.
And
I'm so sick and tired of that word.
So it started with sources, and then can you help me with the guy's name, the article?
Chris Jackson?
Yeah. He released that article, an opinion article.
With Razorbackers.
Yeah. And he started talking about how the Board of Trustees, has kind of been manipulating the Razorbacks since day one, like going all the way back. And Juracek is kind of fitting the mold of, you know, I'm not playing by y'all's rules.
Yep.
I'm getting my guy. Well, now those people with sources, all of a sudden, no Board of Trustees members.
No Board of Trustees, and that it's one of them, it's half of them, it's three of them, it's this one guy from Jonesboro, it's this, no. Shut up.
Yeah, just please, like, have fun with the plane track, and we quit acting like you know something. And these guys, there's one of them that has stayed pretty damn consistent from the beginning as a source guy. He has a source, and he's not said nothing more than, we've got our guy, and that's it. There's about two or three other handles, not mentioning them either, but they're walking back on things that they've said because they forgot. You know, when you make a lie up, you better remember that lie, because otherwise you just start running in circles, and he got called out.
Yeah, I always I see that stuff and see the source stuff, and I understand from a journalist's standpoint and that whole deal, protecting sources, but your average Joe, your schmuck down the road, like, one, if you're being told this, then you're being lied to. I honestly, because
you're not going to be told. I truly do not think you will be told anything.
Not anything by somebody that's worth a damn.
Legit, right?
And if you are, I mean, you definitely shouldn't be on the Twitter. Because the thing is, I feel like these folks that are taking the plane tracking and all this stuff so serious, I feel like they're going to almost feel like they were part of the hiring search, like they picked Kiffin or whatnot. But have you ever thought about the angle that you're really truly affecting it? Because we had the opportunity to maybe save some money on this deal, but now that it's pretty obvious that the majority of the fan base wants Lane Kiffin, we're putting more heat on the U of A, and Jimmy Sexton has all the negotiating power possible. The guy's already done that by, you know, managing like every head coach worth a damn in the NCAA. So when you're sitting there and you're doing these plane trackings and stuff that maybe can usually just be looked over, and that information not necessarily get out like that, because, I mean, you're tracking, you know, you did hit some planes that were probably accurate on that whole deal, but what does that do?
There's a thing
called, it affects the search in a negative way, in my opinion.
There's a thing called vetting. There's a thing called interviews.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called sources, legitimate sources. There's a thing called, your references.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things going on. And I agree with you 100%. I actually have not looked at it that way, so that's a good point out of you. But I'm actually okay with them taking it serious. But quit acting like you know something.
Right.
You don't know shit. There's one in particular on there that's setting himself up beautifully for when we hire whoever to say, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's taking the fun out of it, honestly. Now they're just trying to, like you said, they're trying to be part of it. And now people buying into it, which irritates me, quit giving these guys more juice because it makes them feel more legitimate. I'm kind of getting over it. I want to have a coach just so I can quit looking on Twitter and seeing that crap.
Right. I mean, when they first got when they first fired Chad Morris, we mentioned probably 15 names on this show. So do we get credit if one of those 15 is named?
I think if Drinkwitz gets named, you're getting a shout out on Twitter as calling it day one. Because that's why you said it, right? You want the recognition?
Yeah, exactly. That's
the, you expect exactly the check from the U of A if that happens.
Yeah, basically I led the hiring search at that point. If it's Drinkwitz or Bill Clark, I feel like I'm kind of in the priority in that one.
Yeah. Luke says finder's fee.
It a big old finder's fee. You think paying
Old Mill, right?
Yeah. You think buying out Chad Morris is rough. Having me find you the next head football coach at the U of A ain't cheap, ladies and gentlemen.
And ain't if it cheap. Works out, I expect you to I expect you to drive to Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And help find Garrett's replacement. Don't let it be Kellen Moore getting two promotions in the same calendar year.
I can find any schmuck that can clap and be a yes man for Jerry Jones.
Well,
yeah.
The clap thing, I thought, okay, well, that's what we don't want, but a yes man, that's exactly what Jerry wants. So, anyway.
Yeah.
What, Luke? Why are you questioning me? he's asking me questions, and I don't know what they're finding. Is you want me to be the coach? Yes, absolutely. I can do that. But are you losing fun with this coaching search? Like, has it kind of just got monotonous at this point to you?
No, like I said, I go in there and everything is parody and sarcasm to me. So, especially from those accounts. There's certain ones, you know, we see some picking up from ESPN reporters from South Florida. And there are some guys that are media and have a little bit more standing that are willing to put their reputation on the line in order to get a little buzz flowing. So you still have to play that because you can still have trolls in the media and you can also get led astray. That's just where it is in today's society.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go this route now, though, because I do feel Sundays when we hear, right?
No
matter who it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and then, you know, of course, press conference and everything be on Monday. But Sunday's when we'll find out who.
Yeah.
What if it's not Kiffin?
I mean, Eli Drinkwitz is still playing a championship game.
No, yeah. I mean, is that what you think? I mean, who do you legitimately think?
Kiffin, at this point.
If that doesn't happen, though. Because there is that chance. Ole Piss is getting in the mix now.
Oh.
And, you know, the Ole Piss thing, the Ole Piss angle could have very well been Sexton, like, man, Lane. Arkansas wants you. That's probably where you're looking at going. But, you know, Ole Miss fans are saying that they deserve you. And, yeah. You know, that could have been that angle you're referring to. So, Ole Miss could be a legitimate contender in this.
Yeah. So, kind of the ultimate fallback on that kind of thing, right? Is that what you're looking at? It's going to be the guy on the other side that probably beats Lane Kiffin.
Oh, you think so? Clark.
Mm-hmm.
See, and We sort of discussed that.
There, I say that just because you kind of sprung it on me, but when I'm really thinking it out in my head, Clark, I feel like, is a good choice in terms of build and everything of that sort and using the guys that he's got and doing the best with what he's got, and it'd be night and day from him. I mean, he's 2 years, 3 years removed from not having a program to multi-million-dollar program in the SEC. So, yes, that's a big jump, and folks are instantly going to tell me that it's a Chad Morris comparison and everything like that. That's not the case. Go look at, you know, Chad Morris didn't win championships as a head coach. But the thing that really sticks with Clark is loyalty. He sticked around part of a campus or part of a university that shut down their football team for a year and stayed around and brought them to a nine win and 11 win. Like, he's put together some really good stuff.
Man, you just made us sound like such an Arkansas podcast.
Was it?
He sticked around through all the
Yeah. Anybody tracking planes to Birmingham?
Right. Yeah, exactly. The thing about the loyalty is what we discussed, Homer Fields today or yesterday off the recording, of course, but, does his loyalty keep him at UAB for a little bit longer? period. You know, anything we could offer him is going to be a pay raise, right? So,
well, I definitely think in terms of the coaching vacancies that are available, he's definitely a guy that's getting a call. Because, you know, Mike Leach was a name that's getting mentioned at Missouri, and just because he's out of the running on our side, because, you know, why? An extension.
Norvell, so, you mean?
No, Mike Leach. So, Mike Leach got the extension there. He was mentioned for Missouri. He's mentioned for the same jobs as Arkansas. Norvell is a guy that's been mentioned, and it's kind of been hush-hush on his side. Who's he managed by? Jimmy Sexton. And honestly, it can be loud and noisy with Lane Kiffin, but Norvell might sneak into one of these jobs and get a big upgrade. And, you know, probably.
I don't think Norvell's coming here, though.
No, like, not
even
here.
Even if Kiffin doesn't, I don't.
No, not here. It'd be more of a Ole Miss kind of deal.
I'm getting really irritated about the talk of why Arkansas isn't, I mean, out of Missouri, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. I think I might have mentioned on the last recording that we were winning a poll.
Yeah.
Now there's been more, and we're at the bottom of all of them. I don't understand that. You can make a little bit of an argument if you try to with Ole Miss, but we're better than Mizzou. No, we haven't beat them, but as a coaching job, we're better than Mizzou.
Yeah.
But we don't seem to be getting the love. I mean, look at Mizzou Stadium. It looks like a glorified high school field. And okay. I don't know much about their facilities, admittingly, but I can't see if they can't put the money into the football field, how they're going to put it into the facilities either.
There's only two athletic departments in the SEC that are in the red and running on red. And they're the bottom guys, and Mizzou's one of those. And that's something you got to be mindful of. Like, it's drastic, and it won't ever happen because being in the SEC alone allows you to keep
keeps
your head.
You in the in, yeah.
But you can definitely see if a scenario where a football team gets shut down in the SEC or gets sent out of the SEC. Can you imagine taking a coaching job in the SEC and then they're like, yeah, sorry, we're going to do a realignment and, you know, you're going to be in the AAC or something crazy.
Touchdown. Sorry.
Yeah,
but well, that the sure. Big 12 alignment, I mean, was Sumlin the coach when they were in the Big 12 for 1 year?
I feel like the last year they were.
Yeah, so he instantly got a pay raise, right? Just out of principle with that?
Well, and he was turning them around.
Right.
No,
so
no loyalty there.
That would be interesting. But for the Norvells and Kiffins of the world, I'm going to get off that for a second. But
so what
Kiffin
about
probably,
you? I mean, you throwing the same questions at me and not really answering them, so...
Well, you ain't asked me.
If it's not Kiffin.
Realistically, I think we're looking down the barrel of something Arkansas. And that's...
You don't think it's Kiffin?
A lot of smoke, man. A lot of smoke. And I'm trying... So the same way you get on Twitter and try to look at it as parody and funny, I try not to get too optimistic when it comes to Arkansas stuff. Granted, this is a Eurocheck deal, not a Board of Trustees or Jeff Long deal, which... Jeff Long was Board of Trustees, basically. But a lot of names are being extended. A lot of names are getting tied to other schools. I mean, what if we got stuck with a Butch Davis?
Man, you are such a negative Nancy. We are not going to go down that low. Like, if Butch Jones gets announced, we will be Tennessee of last year, of the last go-round. Twitter will be ablaze, and it would...
Is it Jones or Davis? Am I getting them mixed up?
Butch Jones?
I said Butch Davis.
Oh, Butch Davis, yeah, no, neither Butchy.
Get the Butch out of here with that mess, yeah. Right? I mean, realistically, if it's not Kiffin, I would settle with a Clark, but if it is Kiffin also, that has to mean that we're at number 3 or 4, right?
In terms of who we wanted?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, there's...
We know for a fact that he tried to bring him to Houston, so there is that, as much as it's been brought up. And two, I've said multiple times that there's going to be parallels to the Musselman hire, because it's just...
So do you think he's one?
Yeah, I think he was the number one guy.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't, but that's fine. I feel
like.
Well,
yeah, because you were sitting in that boat thinking that Houston Nutt was going to come here and that Sam Pittman was going to get a massive bump, even though he hasn't been a head football coach.
Well, no, Sam Pittman isn't one that I.
You thought he was going to be attached to somebody.
Yeah, I figured he would come with somebody, not anything like a head coaching job. But.
Just go with what we
already. You go after Venables, right? Brent Venables? You have to go talk to him.
I don't know. That'd be a pretty good chunk. He just got an extension, too, last year, didn't he? During all this?
2 years ago, I believe.
Oh, yeah, for the Chad Morris. Yeah, it's during that cycle. So, yeah, I mean, still, when, like when I'm talking about this, the parallels, you got to go with what he's already done. So, he's hired Musselman, who has pro. Granted, it wasn't all that great, but there's pro experience that he can sell. And then I think
when it comes pro NBA, it's completely different than NFL.
But in terms of resume, Lane Kiffin and Musselman are pretty close. There's a lot of similarities there. In terms of hiring, the only thing that really been the difference is the fact that Lane Kiffin's name got blew up. And that, I mean, they were plane tracking during Musselman too. And it essentially happened with Sampson. So that's where I get a little, that's where my hesitation is the fact that it feels like a Sampson deal or Beard, because both of those names were brought up very quickly and very loudly. And then
Musselman's was brought up, but not talked about near as much.
Yeah, he just kind of snuck in. So,
but I wasn't dogging your pro alignment thing there. I was just saying, like, not as good of a record in the NBA to me isn't as big of a negative as it is not as good of an NFL record. Because I feel like the NBA super teams and all that crap, it's just hard to be at the top echelon of that.
Look at Nick Saban's NFL.
Well, no, if you're a good football coach, you can win a couple, but people understand that when it comes to you have, like, Belichick, he has a system in place. Cleveland probably kicks themselves every morning for letting him go so fast. And Lane Kiffin, he fell into the Oakland job. Almost literally, like that. And did he make it two seasons there?
I feel like he did.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure what his head coaching record was there, but the biggest thing with Kiffin, I think with everybody, is his maturity level, which I think, kind of going back to what I mentioned earlier, when he was with him, if it is him and he's deciding to coach the Conference USA championship game this weekend, that shows a level of maturity. Because it'd be real easy for him to jump on. I mean, hell, what is he getting paid? Is it over a million? I don't think it's over a million, is it?
Over a million with incentives. He's at the 950,000 base.
And just recently found out he has a house that they're loaning to him or financing for him and stuff. So he's going to get close to a $3 million bump, close to it. So be real easy to say, all right, I'm out, and jump on that. And he's not. So that's what my biggest thing is with him. And I think he would have a good opportunity to maybe rebuild his reputation here. And I feel like that is important to him. So if he comes here and wins, you know, 3 or 4 years of 8-9 wins, that'd be enough, right? Especially at Arkansas. It's impossible to win at Arkansas, isn't it?
As long as you leave it better than how you got it. Last few coaches, that's not what we can say. So, I mean,
Bielema was at a little bit of a disadvantage leaving it better than he got it, because Petrino, for all of his wrongs, he did have a pretty good deal going on here. Weren't we preseason 9 that year when all that went down?
Yeah.
And Morris, I mean, all you had to do was win 5 games. You couldn't even pull that off. So
all you had to really do is win 4. Just win the non-cons.
Right. But anyway, as far as coaching search, you think he is here. Not sold yet. The fund's being taken out of it, not because it hasn't happened yet, but because it hasn't happened yet and people keep talking about everybody they freaking know when everybody knows, well, decent majority of people know they don't know anybody. But we just mentioned Chad Morris.
Yeah.
And we were noticing some things this week, and I think we ought to talk about it.
Fair enough. So with Chad Morris, you know, looking back and everything of that sort, stuff that I will say that I defended on time, but
hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, when stuff goes sour, that stuff starts turning into red flags, and some of that stuff I think we're referring to is, you know, not moving the family up here, which now it really, I don't understand it from any standpoint. I understand Texas football 100% and playing that whole deal, but today's age, social media and being able to get scouts there, private jets and all that sorts, if your son is a player, he can play at every level no matter where he's at. He's going to get seen. So if they're good, they're good. So,
and there's other alternatives too. You can still move your family up here and leave him with good friends.
Yep.
Right? You know he's connected down there. Maybe has some aunts and uncles. We're talking about Chandler.
Chandler, yeah.
And I defended that pretty hard, actually. I remember doing that. But you look back at that, where everything is, I think the biggest one, though, is the fact that he bought that huge house, and there were legitimate reports, you know, Mike Irwin-type people. I don't think Irwin said it, but, you know, I can't remember for sure about those types of people, the ones with the blue check, as we say, on yeah. Twitter. And saying that he hardly ever stayed at that house. The furniture that was there was rented.
Yep.
And you brought up a good point today. That is a good recruiting tool, and he did do good recruiting. But, you know, bringing those kids over to a fancy house like that, and every single one of those kids' aspirations are pro ball money can get you places like that, you know. And we've seen the house personally. It is a big house, real beautiful house. But so moving the family, I think the biggest thing, and it's caught a little bit of traction on the social media platforms, there was no "I'm sorry," not even to the fans, his players.
Yeah.
There was no statement. Barry Odom got let go from Missouri. Obviously, we're talking about that vacancy. Issued a statement. "Love you guys. Thank you for the opportunity. Blah, 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 blah. Go get them next year. Good luck in your future," stuff like that. And even that isn't as big as the fact that players were tweeting out their displeasure with the firing. The "thank you for helping me become a better man" type tweets and all that. Fans, "hey, you know, we miss you. We wish you the best. Sorry it ended this way." Nothing
like that. I mean, Matt Luke, he made a statement as well. A lot of these coaches that found him, I can't remember if Taggart did one, but with how sour that relationship is, I wouldn't be surprised there. And he probably feels like he got a raw deal for whatever reason, but ultimately you got to understand it's a business and put forth the stuff. So
Ron Rivera in the NFL, it's still a coaching and player relationship.
Ron Rivera made a statement, though, didn't he?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He did. He
and he's coming to Arkansas as well. That's another name.
DC, right? He's getting demoted all the way down.
I think it was just like a special teams coordinator, something like that.
Oh, analyst type position.
Holder coach.
Yeah. But we kind of been thinking about this, and we've been stewing on it, I'd say about a good week now, and just looking at mine and your opinion align in the fact that we don't think he ever really gave a shit about us.
University about Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and it kind of reflects, and the biggest, I guess, or the first red flag was the article from the anonymous player that we talked about before the season started, and we ripped that guy.
Yep.
Who we might think he was. But first of all, I'm sorry for that.
Yep.
But it makes sense. I mean, you look at there, nothing from players. Player things after the Morris fire were more, "we got you, Lunny." You know, mm-hmm. Lunny's a good dude and stuff like that. After the season, players' tweets have been all, "let's go get a guy.
Let's go get a guy." Troll jobs. There was some of that. I mean,
there's some granted, troll, yeah.
Granted, some former guys, but there was also some support for Lunny, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was
right off the bat.
There were some tweets that said, "hey, you got to give Lunny a shot," which is interesting. And if we're really talking worst case scenarios, I don't think that's a worst case scenario.
Him over the Butches.
Yeah. If you got to start marking out too many names, I would say if you probably get five deep, Lunny needs to be six.
I agree 100%. But that's you can have, I think, in my humble opinion, you can have any kind of coach you want. Best offensive mind, best defensive mind, best all-around mind, X's and O guys to a T. But if he doesn't relate with the players, they're not going to perform.
And me personally, I just think it says a lot if you release a statement, no matter how. Like, you still got to say, you know, love Fayetteville. I mean, Bielma did the same thing.
Bielma still talks to Razorbacks on Twitter.
Yeah.
Probably on actual conversations, too.
Yeah.
He did just yesterday with the graduating student-athletes.
Yep. Because some of those were still his guys and all that good stuff. But it just, it's easy to say now, but it's like, why didn't we see this before?
Well, I think the biggest...
We were naive and blinded.
Well, the biggest troll job for me, though, I think, that kind of, especially when it came to that article, is the way he recruited. That's one thing we can't talk about. He did a very good job recruiting. He did a very good job relating to recruits to get them here.
But
he
what
did
if,
a hell of a job
what
on
if
the
he
Twitter
was just,
game.
What if he was just blowing smoke, though? Like, once he got
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think it was. Be this guy. Hey, look at me. I'm right here with you. He was a hell of a giffer. Can't take that away. But, yeah, once they get there and they're in the building, that's like that article said. He didn't talk to his people.
Yeah.
Half the things he said he did, or how did he word that? Half the things he did in front of the cameras, he didn't do behind scenes or whatever, something like he wasn't who.
He was only a good guy if the cameras were there, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And it sucks. And we got screwed. I mean, I don't think that it was something calculated. I'm not going to get that conspiracy theorist about it, but I think something was calculated with him as far as knowing he didn't have to succeed.
Right.
But I'm not saying he knew he was going to get himself, you know, Sexton's his agent too, right?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Like I said, 90. But, I don't get how that guy doesn't get shut down somehow. Representing all them coaches, I feel like, is a conflict of interest. But, hey, he's been doing it for years.
Right. But, maybe they saw the buyout and they're like, hey, man, go get your money. And you can... Maybe he was tired of college and wants to get back into high school. I don't know. It wasn't good. It was never good.
No. Let's put a bow on that for a while. We got plenty to do. We still got some pick-ems. It's championship pick-em week. I think probably besides the bowl game, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do with the bowl game. But unless you want to pick Army and Navy next week.
Well, absolutely. It's football games.
So, we'll have one more pick 'em after this, but it'll be the Army-Navy game, and I'll go Air Force.
Wait, well, you said the last picking period?
No, because, pick 'ems, yeah, because then we'll have a bowl. We got bowl games to go through, and that's going to be a totally different monster.
Oh, you're going to do what we do?
Yeah, we're going to do what we do.
Oh,
we might open that up to the masses, have a JRD one, a bowl pick 'em.
Andy will get up in there.
I sure hope so. Andy?
Get JT in there?
JT? Greg?
Oh, he wouldn't be able to figure his way through that. That's complicated.
Is it?
That's a lot of internet stuff.
Well.
We might actually need to hold Andy's hand as I'm talking about it.
Well, Andy probably just say something like, don't worry, I'm just going to sit back, eat my back strap.
Andy's a source guy, isn't he?
He's our source. He's our inside line to Memphis. But, hey, we're not supposed to mention that, man.
Sorry.
Yeah. Jeez.
Damn it. Sorry, Andy.
And sorry, source from Memphis.
Source from Memphis. That's good. No one can see through that facade there.
Nope. Also, just real quick, I should say source number 59 from Memphis. That's some cryptic stuff just for Andy. Yeah. Inside jokes. Hope you be a part of it.
Are you giving me hell for not making it to Little Rock?
No. It's not anything that happened with Little Rock, so. But let's get this going. All right.
Let's roll.
We'll go to the Pac-12, and we got Utah versus Oregon. And Utah is a 6.5-point favorite. Now, we'll go over some scenarios after this.
Just yeah.
Straight pick'ems.
Let's get with Utah because they're going to be part of my mayhem later.
They're going to be part of your mayhem. Okay. I will go Ducks. So we're split on that one. Moving over to the Big 12.
Aren't you trying to put a fake handle right there, capital P?
This one's
my most intriguing game.
I feel like it's kind of by default, really.
Yeah,
really
Baylor
looking at
OU. OU's a 9-point favorite. I'm picking OU or Baylor to cover.
Okay.
And I'm picking Baylor to win.
Oh, okay. A little extra there, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's another split there. I'm going to go OU on that one.
That's all right. You can do what you want.
You write. You want to make fun of my writing and whatnot, type.
Oh, this is something. Something Luke normally does.
This is you do a producer. See, this is what happens to the show when we don't have producer Luke. We give him a hard time, but there's a lot of.
He's very valuable.
Very, very valuable. So, there we go. Moving on to what I like to dub the Nacho Coach Bowl, Cincinnati versus Memphis. Shout out Andy again. Memphis, 9.5-point favorite.
You know, I got to go with old Cincinnati just to get underneath
Andy's skin here.
Andy's skin there, yeah.
Well, the knock against Norvell is that he can't win a championship.
He can't win the big one. And he won't.
And he will.
Dylan's taking you. Meet one time. meet a fan one time.
You're talking loyalty. You're like, oh, it's just out the window now. We meet Andy. We had like a 10-second conversation in the north end zone before the game. I mean, come on.
Well, that's your fault. All right, next one. This one is what Dylan has dubbed might be your coach bowl. And it's UAB. At Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic is a 7.5-point favorite. You know what? I'm actually going UAB because of all the crap.
Man, that was going to be my, like, shocker, I guess. But yeah.
Really?
Bill Clark, UAB, upsets FAU. Dang.
And it's not a knock against Kiffin or anything. It's just a lot of shit going on down there at Boca Raton and – or back of Ratoon, or however Dylan says it. And
I said it like, okay, I can't even say I said it one time because I stumbled over it like three times, so I got nothing.
There's a few words in your dictionary that you struggle with occasionally.
Yeah,
that Silent Spring slang.
No, whatever. we've already had people comment on why I have problems. Anyway.
Screw those people.
Move on.
I'm gonna let you handle this one.
You want me to do this one?
Yeah, this one's yours.
We got the new Go Tigers Bowl. That is the SEC Championship, also known as the Ed Orgeron Subtitle Bowl. If anything, press conference, halftime should be good. LSU, right? LSU? Okay.
Yeah, LSU. It's LSU.
All right, cool.
LSU, did you say 6.5-point?
Yeah, LSU is a 6.5-point favorite over
LSU
Georgia.
Takes care of that pretty handily. Then we got Hawaii at
Boise State
in the Hoo Bowl, as Dylan put down here. But that would be, hell, I don't even remember what, that Mountain West?
Yeah, that's Mountain West.
Yeah, Mountain West championship game. We've got
Boise State.
Why am I having such a hard time with that? Boise State's a 14-point favorite. I have no idea. Boise State's got better name recognition, so I'm going Boise State.
Boise State, yeah, that's pretty much what I'm deeming that one there, too. The only real thing I got going for that one. Moving on, we've got this is such a joke. It's a warm-up game for Clemson for the college football playoffs. That's why it's called a preseason. Obviously, we're using bowl loosely, but that's kind of where we're at with these championship games. Preseason game for Clemson. Clemson is a 28.5-point favorite over
Virginia.
For a championship
conference game. I mean, you look at that Hawaii and Boise State game at 14, that's kind of getting up there.
Mm-hmm.
But 28.5? Good Lord. I'm taking Georgia, Virginia.
Virginia, just simply by 28.5. I mean, Yeah,
it's a championship game. They're going to be a little bit juiced, right?
Right.
And then last but certainly least is the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
Ohio State is at Wisconsin. And you're sure that's right? They're at?
Well, I mean,
oh, they play at Indy.
These are all neutral sites. They don't matter.
Well, no. No, UAB's at Florida.
Oh, wait.
But Ohio State is, and this is another ridiculous one, a 16.5-point favorite, but I have not. It's going to be Ohio State. They're going to cover.
Ohio State's going to cover. They know what they got to do. Honestly, Wisconsin just seemed to let go of the rope. They just ain't playing their kind of football anymore.
You know what? Wisconsin covers.
Ooh, we're splitting it. There is a bowl game missing, and if you can tell us, then props to you. And I am a championship game missing. See, that's I messed myself up by putting all bowl behind this, but there is a championship game missing. So if you figure it out, you get a gold star.
Who is it?
You don't get the gold star.
Do I get a gold star?
That's for the masses. If they figure it out, they can add us at JRD Hogcast, or they can join the action at 479-308-8605. But
Dylan, I hate when you do that kind of stuff, because then I do this and I'm looking. You're testing my football knowledge.
No, don't worry about it on air. I'll fill you in.
That's what I'm saying. You screw me up.
It's an Easter egg for the folks. Okay.
All right.
They got to hunt
figure
for
it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure it out. After, right. Off air, of course. But let's get to the fun stuff.
Well, I was going to kind of, you mentioned most entertaining, and it feels like it's been a topic out of this one. We agree that the Big 12 is probably most crucial for the playoffs, right? In terms of playoff alignment?
No, well, that, and I also feel Utah and Oregon is.
Okay. Yeah, those two are definitely the top ones. But in terms of entertainment, what would you say?
Entertainment value is definitely the Big 12 one.
So, the one thing to note on the Utah-Oregon game is that it's actually Friday night, which, depending on when we get this released, you might be listening to this, hopefully, while they're playing. So that is one thing to point out. Everybody else is on Sunday during, you know, Oklahoma's got an 11 a.m. kick, and you got championship all Saturday. At least for OU, they'll know what they need to do in terms of getting to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, with all that said, let's start some mayhem.
Love mayhem. You don't like my mayhem. I tried to talk about this a few weeks ago, and you just shot it straight to hell.
No.
First of all.
Because, like I said, it feels like Charlie Day, the gif, when you really.
That's what it's exactly
when,
what
when
it is.
When you really start breaking down rankings and what could happen, what's going to be the most entertaining, these kind of matchups. I feel like I'm Charlie Day, the gif where he's sitting in front of that whiteboard, hands in his hair, just ripping it out and trying to explain it. And that's also kind of what these coaching search guys look, you know, plane trackers. But, anywho. It
probably makes more sense with the plane trackers with the crossing.
Let's get into the mayhem.
I want to ask you this before the mayhem really begins. Actually, this kind of leapfrogged the mayhem into action. Alabama deserved to fall 7? Now, I don't like me no Alabama, but did they deserve to fall 7?
No, that's pretty dirty.
That's a significant dump there.
But I feel like the problem they have is the fact that Auburn was sitting there. Because, I mean, you get a little weird if you leave Alabama in front of Auburn, right?
No, I mean, record, man, no. I don't think so, but.
I feel like it's right, but, I mean, you might be able to. Well, Penn State was level. Florida, I don't get why Florida. And then you have got Wisconsin that bumped up 4 spots. So that's crazy.
Yeah. But we can both agree that the LSU-Georgia game, Georgia wins.
Oh, you're starting right in the mayhem here, huh?
Right in the mayhem is what we're doing. Yeah. Georgia wins, nothing changes, right? In the top 4, assuming Clemson and Ohio State win.
Right.
Nothing changes, so that's fine.
You don't think Clemson jumps if Georgia wins?
Yeah, but I'm saying the top four. Yeah, okay. The numbers change, but the top four is the top four. Where stuff gets a little weird is when LSU beats Georgia, and that's going to happen.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So LSU beats Georgia, and then Utah beats Oregon, and then Baylor beats Oklahoma, or Oklahoma beats Baylor. What the hell happens then? That's what I think. That's, to me, that is going to be the biggest shakeup. That's why I put the Baylor one and the Utah one
right
as my two craziest ones.
Yeah, so that is...
That's hard to keep up with. I don't even know if I can say that again the same way.
That's definitely one of those deals where, me personally, in terms of strength, like strength of schedule and who they played, I can't like Utah's one loss as much as they want to try to elevate USC for whatever reason. That's their one loss, Utah's. Oklahoma doesn't have a good loss either. I believe it's Kansas State, correct?
Yes.
So it's probably a worse loss, but Oklahoma has better wins.
But
I would say Oklahoma gets in.
The Utah game, though, was at USC, and it was not a shellacking like Oklahoma and Kansas State.
Right. I still say OU, man.
You still say OU? Okay. Let me throw this one at you.
If Utah gets in there, they will be slaughtered.
Well, see, that's what's – but you can't look at it that way,
though. I know, but –
and that's what's supposed to be this great
– That's the Notre Dame symptom, though. Like, if Notre Dame was sitting in this point, they wouldn't be in after the chances that they've gotten. I mean, I think that –
That's not supposed to matter.
It does. That's the human element of this.
You can't take the human element out of humans. No. So what if Baylor beats OU?
Baylor beats OU. Okay.
And Georgia, LSU beats, or I say what if, but I really do think LSU is going to beat Georgia.
Right.
Baylor beats OU. LSU beats Georgia. What happens?
Baylor beats OU.
Does Baylor get in the top four and jump Utah?
No.
That argument with Baylor you just had with OU is better than it is just the same as it is with Baylor.
I know.
Baylor's one loss is to the number six team in the country.
Yeah, but Utah, well, what's Utah doing again? Utah's winning?
They win. They're going to win.
How much?
So you want to go scores? So there's a points deal there? So Oregon is ranked 13th. I want to try to make it a little bit weird for you. 13 points.
Okay. Yeah, Utah stays in where they're at, and they will be in before
What if
Baylor
beats Oklahoma by 3 touchdowns and Utah beats Oregon by 13 points?
Have fun at 5, Baylor.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I disagree with you quite a bit there.
Hey, but hey, then you'll have the OU Alabama matchup and the bowl that don't matter, and they can, you know.
See, that's something I feel a little bit – I think I said that from the first of the football season, maybe the first few weeks when Hurts was going off. Hurts wants Bama.
Mm-hmm. He's going to throw the game so that he can go face them in a schmuck bowl game?
No, of course not. But if – like, I bet you when they got beat, he's like
– No, you know who Hurts wants. It's Clemson.
He wants that revenge? Maybe so.
I'm gonna beat the team that you can't beat. But Clemson's also, if there's anyone that slept walked their way through a season and somehow gets in the playoffs, it's Clemson.
Clemson definitely has, and I actually,
like, me personally, records all put aside and just watching football, Clemson isn't top four. I'm not dropping them crazy, but they're not a top four team in the country.
Where would they? AP's still. They're the same.
Yeah.
So, but I think the SEC championship game is the one that's going to hold the most weight on the shakeup of things, because Ohio State's, I picked Wisconsin to cover and stuff, but they're not going to win.
If LSU wins, Ohio State wins, does LSU jump Ohio State?
No, because they get no love because it's Ohio State. I don't understand why. I hate that I'm defending LSU, but LSU is by far the best team in the country.
Right.
But no, they won't jump them. Because why? They both won their championship game.
Right. I don't get that. But
what if Wisconsin beats Ohio State? Does Ohio State stay in the top four?
Probably. I got really
No,
hit.
If Wisconsin beats Ohio State, OU beats Baylor, Utah beats Oregon, LSU beats Georgia. Are you tracking that?
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State still stays in the top four?
They probably would, but I would say no.
That's one thing this college football playoff deal has really.
I would love to see a scenario where Ohio State is the one team that's got the blemish, because they're gonna sit there, and it just
they're gonna be trying to sell a pipe dream.
Well, they're gonna put the level of what a championship matter, you know, means. So, because you're gonna be sitting there staring at a Big 12 champion, and you're gonna be staring at a Pac 12 champion that are both trying to knock on the door, and then you're going to sit there and be like, yeah, but that's still not as good as a Big Ten runner-up.
I mean, Utah, I just had their schedule pulled up here, but I do believe Utah has been whooping some pretty good ass, haven't they?
They've had some decent points in terms of the scoring.
Like, differentials and stuff. Yeah. So they got, I'm looking at it now. They beat the crap out of BYU. Beat the crap out of Northern Illinois. Idaho State ain't nothing. The one loss, 30-23 at USC.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the hell out of not your coach. Beat Washington the crap State. Out of Oregon State. Beat the crap out of Arizona State. Shut out Cal by 35. Had a close game with a Washington team that's
they always got.
They were in the playoff a couple years ago. Beat the hell out of UCLA. Beat the hell out of Arizona. Beat the hell out of Colorado. I mean.
I'm definitely going to be watching tomorrow night, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen a Utah game. I've seen an Oregon game, and I wasn't too impressed there. So I'm not high on Oregon, and I might backtrack a little bit, and especially if they handle like a 14-point spread and OU's close. I guess I might backtrack a little bit on my statement.
Utah's, I'm not going to lie.
Utah's resume and Oklahoma's resume are pretty damn close.
I'm not going to lie, I was looking forward to this mayhem segment that we had planned out, but this is tough to even manufacture mayhem because it's all legitimate possibilities.
Yeah, hopefully there is mayhem, and then we can be breaking some mayhem on Sunday.
So. When's the last time we had mayhem, like legitimate mayhem?
I mean.
I don't think we ever have.
It seems like it
comes it's always
in.
A possibility, but they're – there's always, I mean, we're looking from number 10 up. Everybody is two losses or less.
Right. And all I can say is, I'm rooting for you, Virginia. I'm rooting for you.
That would be so great. It's not going to happen. You think? Is Virginia, they're not even ranked, are they? Oh, they are. Look at them down here at number 23.
They just snuck in. So
This week was their first week of being ranked.
And
let's look at what they got. Are they even
I think
good
that,
win?
I think that's
good
be...
win over Pitt. Good win over whoever the hell that is. Close win with Florida State. Only 11-point win against Old Dominion. Got beat by Notre Dame. Got beat by Miami. Got beat by Louisville. They ain't gonna do shit. They ain't gonna do nothing.
You know what's funny is when you look at Clemson's schedule. Obviously, they got to play who they got to play. Clemson fans, we completely understand that, but. In terms of rank, and when I go back and look at a schedule, I think of their current ranking. Like, I don't think about rankings when they were there, right? That doesn't necessarily make sense.
You're talking about the opponent's ranking?
Yeah. So, I'm talking about that Texas A&M matchup. At that time, Texas A&M was 12th in the country. And that
Were they overhyped.
Yeah, that was the Jimbo Fisher effect.
Mm-hmm, absolutely was.
Overhyped, so...
Also, I hate that guy.
In terms of metrics, are you going to sit there and go, "Oh, that's a good win"? I think a 24-10 win over Texas A&M is pretty much the same as beating UNC North Carolina by 1 point.
See, I disagree with you there. I think the then rankings need to carry some sort of weight.
In week two.
Not that beating a number then 10 ranked team is. You played the 10th ranked team in the country at that time. I think it should matter, but I don't think the 10 ranking then should carry as much weight as a 10th ranking now. But I think it should matter in some form or fashion.
Right.
Now, also, the AP poll dropped Alabama to 9. I think that's a little bit more
accurate there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at it, and honestly, looking up to this point, they've cleaned it up. They've turned it on and kind of done the new Clemson thing of you know, blowing out people for the last 5 weeks. And, oh, they're the best team in the country, that whole thing.
And Dabo's getting a little lippy.
Dabo's getting a little salty because we're supposed to put some weight behind the fact that they beat South Carolina. And then, yes, we know South Carolina beat Georgia. Blah, 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 blah.
Blind squirrel there.
Yeah.
Finds a nut every now and then.
Let's go Virginia. I know it's not going to happen.
That'd be awesome, but yeah, it's not going to happen.
What you got for us?
You know, today I just want to say that I am real close to falling off of the Cowboys.
Oh, is it getting ugly right now?
It's 10-7, and it shouldn't be.
Okay.
Dak throwing off his back foot like a pro.
Man,
what you got for us? You always ask me.
You can't be leaving us on some Cowboy talk.
Okay. You want the last thing? We will be recording at 8:00 Sunday night, telling you what we think of Lane Kiffin being the new Arkansas Razorbacks
head
coach.
That's why I ask you, because you take it from me. That's exactly what I was going to leave these folks with. Besides that, we should also probably tell, you know, White Watchers out there, me and Jordan are going to jump on our private jet, and we will be heading to Boca Raton. Please don't track us. You know, privacy matters for us. Unless you want to join in the action, and then you can hit us up at 479-308-8605 or hit us up at Twitter, on Twitter, at JRD Hogcast. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke. Hopefully we didn't make it too bad on you. You know, kind of flying by the seat of our pants.
Sure,
with
hope not.
There's a bleep. Until next time, and as always, woo pig silly. The jersey and the hat, sometimes I take it too extreme. Game day comes around, you'll see a little pride on my face. Cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl won't be.